Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
I would just love to start the podcast interview with, like, how are we here today?
Well, this is Bridget. I have a background in botany and analytical chemistry. I was working at pharmaceutical companies and biotechs for more time than I'd care to say, a long, long time, my career. But it was sort of just not, you know, my heart wasn't in it, you mm-hmm. know, but it was paying the bills. And I really was interested in science. My past life before that, I was an artist. And my original degree was in art. And then I went back to school almost immediately because I was like, there's no way I'm going to make money as an artist. So my other passion was science and environmentalism. So that's kind of how I got into that. And those were where the jobs were in biotech. So I just kind of worked my way up, worked in a lab for many years and loved the science and loved working in the lab, but I didn't love the pharmaceutical industry, you know, because it's Western medicine. It has its place, but it's not where my heart is. I'm really much more into herbal healing and alternative medicine. And when I a roommate brought home some flower that was high CBD and was like, try this. Cause I'm also a lightweight. Like I get stoned super easily. So I don't smoke a lot of weed really. I mean, I do, but just more high CBD stuff. And when I started, I was like, what is this? Like, I'd never heard of it. This was in like 2013 or 2014. I was so blown away. Like I was just like, what? I had no idea this existed, you know, this like weed that didn't get you super high. And I just started reading about it and became obsessed. Like I read every book, Ed Rosenthal, How to Grow Weed. And I read, you know, all the books and all the scientific papers about it. And the more I read, the more I was just obsessed. And like, I couldn't believe that this was real. Like the endocannabinoid system, is that, that's a real thing? Like it just blew my mind. So I just thought I need to do something with this, you know? And I was at the time when I was starting this business, I started making things in my kitchen and, you know, experimenting, making my own extractions with ethanol, trying to find Everclear that was like, you know, 200 proof Everclear, which is like impossible to find in California. I just started making things. And then at around that same time, I met Andrea Brooks from Sava, and she was starting her business. And I was like, oh, I have these products, you know, like, you know, can I get on your menu? And she was like, yeah, that's great. And I remember we met in the Castro where she lives and at a cafe, and we both had our own little, like a little book with a pen that we were writing in. Like we both wrote on paper, you know, and I thought that was a good sign. We're both similar in that way. Sava was like the first account I got into, and I'm still working full time. Yeah. Sorry. I'm rambling.
No, you're not rambling. And I didn't want, it's on mute for a reason. I was like, don't interrupt, cause this is amazing. Cause I wanted to ask you. So at that point, are you kind of thinking, this is just fun? I'm so interested in the science. I'm applying my analytical mind and I want to start a business. Or like, what's that kind of, is the entrepreneurship kicked in yet? Or that bug of like, this could be.
Yeah, this was in 2015. And so cannabis we're still medical in California. And I did sort of have dollar signs in my eyes. Like I thought, oh, this is a way I can quit my job and I'll make millions. You know, my life is going to be great. Of course, you know, I was very naive at the time. But things were also different then. Like the medical, you know, in California, there were no regulations. It was all very open and I could just make it in my kitchen and sell it directly to Sava, you know? So, but I definitely had this, like, this is what I want to do for a business, because I always wanted to have a business, but I never was inspired enough by something and didn't. And also I never felt like I had an idea that was new and interesting, you know, whereas this, you know, the cannabis industry was brand new, and it was like, it just seemed like the possibilities were endless at that time. Very, very naive of me, but it was fun. And it inspired me. So yeah, I didn't quit my job for a number of years before, you know, after that, but the idea was that, yes, I would start a business, you know?
Yeah. And was that initial kind of product mix that you started with in your kitchen, like in that first account, what is that? Is that, we still find that on your website? Like
absolutely. The first one was my massage oil, which I put in a tiny 10 mil roller bottle. And people actually really liked that application, you know, but it was such a tiny amount. It was like 10 milliliters is so little.
And it's so good, you want to take a bath in it. So it needed to be bigger. It's really pain relieving. It's life-saving. So
that was the first one. That's an olive oil infusion with cannabis and other healing herbs. And then the second one was the eye cream, which was, you know, someone was like, you should make stuff for your face. Like, you know, how about an eye cream? Like my friends are all my guinea pigs, you know, and they kept giving me advice about what to make. So I thought, well, I'll try, you know? So I made an emulsion, and it came out really well. I feel like I got really lucky, because formulation was, you know, I hadn't really formulated much before that. And, but I just started making things and, you know, reading about how to do it and, you know, teaching myself, and my laboratory skills definitely helped me, because like knowing how to measure things and how to mix things and how things work, you know.
I imagine, like, when you think about just like getting that initial like research phase, what you had already done in your previous career, at that point, it's still your job. And then playing around with just creativity, like, what's that ratio, do you think, that made it successful?
I think, well, it's really interesting, because I think there's a lot of creativity that's involved, is like trying to think of new ideas, but also like researching which ingredients to use, and then having the understanding of how to, you know, put them together, like because of my lab work, you know, like basically knowing how to measure something. Like, some people don't know how to measure something, you know, like with a scale, or, you know, and having that kind of knowledge, which is sort of like, to me, common sense, is like, I think, really helpful. So probably I'd say the lab skills are actually more important. But being able to, like, you also use my intuition about like what smells good, what feels good, you know, and what I think people will like.
So. And then you're playing with THC and CBD at this time,
I was actually hard to get CBD back then, because there was a few flower strains, like Cannatonic was like one of the very first one, and I think Harlequin maybe. But it wasn't like you could just go and buy, like, I didn't know any growers that were growing that. No one was growing it. But the person I knew who was growing like White Widow and like, you know, super high THC strains. So I used her flower to make my extractions, and that's how I made my products. So it was all high THC in the beginning. For
sure. What's the eye cream do? I could just imagine like waking up, because I've got a new baby. Like I wake up sometimes, I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I just need to kind of feel like revitalized. And if I could just imagine this eye cream with some like White Widow, like what does that make you feel? And
go ahead.
What does it make you feel? And then also talk to us about skin, as it's the biggest organ, and how that kind of goes into how that makes us feel.
Well, so the eye cream is a one-to-one. Now it's a one-to-one THC to CBD, but it also has calendula and caffeine in it. So it's really healing, really antioxidant, Caffeine's an antioxidant as well as THC and CBD are. And so it has the effects are like it depuffs and helps with dark circles immediately, but then on the longer term basis, it's like antioxidant, so it helps with like anti-aging and, you know, fine lines and so on. But it does give you sort of like an immediate lift, like you can feel it. It doesn't get you high, but people are sometimes just, you know, wish it did. You know, they're like, oh, it doesn't get you high.
And can there's I a lot add that with
yes,
Bridget and I were walking to dance class every week in 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
And she would tell me we weren't business partners yet. And she, the first product she gave me to try was the eye cream. She already mentioned her friends were her guinea pigs. and I honestly didn't have any expectations because I didn't know anything about, except for what we experimented with when we were kids, or teenagers, I should say. I didn't have any experience with cannabis as being medicinal, or I had no idea why it would be good for your face, you know. So I didn't really have any expectations, but I was shocked at how good the product is. I mean, just really surprised. And I thought, wow, she's sitting on some gold right here.
Because is it just not comparable at all, like to a typical eye cream? Because of the antioxidants with cannabis or with the one-to-one ratio, like what is it that makes that feeling so different?
I think the thing that, and this is something that surprised both Kim and me is that it's because there's receptors in our skin and the THC and CBD have amazing anti-inflammatory benefits. We're getting like customer testimonials that are saying stuff like it's helping me with my psoriasis. It's helping me with my acne. It's helping me with my, you know, eczema. And these are things that I wasn't when I made an eye cream, I was thinking, oh, fine lines and dark circles, you know, like that's why you make an eye cream. And I knew that those benefits would be there, but people are actually getting healed by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're sending before and after photos to us and it's shocking. They're like thanking us for finally making something that didn't have bad side effects. Like the pharmaceutical options are for eczema and psoriasis. And Bridget's right. I mean, it all goes back to the endocannabinoid system. Our body has a system with receptors that are literally made for that bind with cannabis, with cannabinoids. I mean, that's the magic of anything made with cannabis or hemp.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then what's also fascinating is now science continues. Cause we still got to get back to 2022. So we'll go back, right. You know, but just a little pinpoint of where we are today is like, there's always been so many molecules in a cannabis plant and as extraction, and there's more research, CBN and all these different components. I'm so curious of, you know, Bridget, do you feel like, wow, the world still is your oyster? I know you're now running a business and you're probably like, no, these are the products we are doing right now, but just that R&D possibilities seem just
right.
Like amazing. A kid in the candy store, really.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up a good point about running a business is that there's a million things to do. And I would love for my job just to be doing R&D and formulation, but I'm like
That's
running a business. I'm doing sales. I'm doing, you know, helping with marketing. I'm writing. I'm, you know, they're just, it's unbelievable, as you know, how much work there is to do. So I'm like, I'm trying to carve out time to R&D and, you know, make new products and stuff. But yeah, we have a long pipeline that I'm like, yeah, I want to do that. And I want to do that, you know?
And we are learning of, when we show some of these before and after pictures of, especially psoriasis to people, we're getting, we're finding out that there are universities in the United States that are doing cannabis research that we're looking to partner with because, you know, until very recently, I mean, it's still federally illegal. But they have lifted the lid a bit on research. So there's some good research coming out. now, and they're doing new research, which is what we're most interested in. And also Israel, where they discovered the endocannabinoid system, apparently has a lot of really great academic research on cannabis that we're trying to get our hands on more. But doing R&D with a university in the United States would be absolutely amazing to show what cannabis can do for not just skin conditions, of course, but also pain. I mean, it was one of the few things that alleviated my dad's pain when he had cancer. I mean, it's just the massage oil that Bridget makes has got me off of opioids and Advil for my back injury. I mean, it's amazing stuff, cannabis.
Yeah. It's so fantastic. And I think that when you have a product with what your business has, it's all topical. And so it usually, I don't know, it almost mitigates some of the objections that a mainstream audience might have at first to cannabis, even though, you know, 67% of people are in favor, and that's a very old statistic. But it's just, I'm just trying to think, like, gosh, I wish those, like, before, you have to send me the before and after so I can put it on Instagram so people
I can show you.
So I would love to see that, because I think what's also really hard is this, and there are workarounds, but you can't make medical claims. You can only show. And I thought it's just got to be like just the most frustrating thing. But those partnerships, like if you can really harness partnerships with universities, then all of a sudden it's just, it's leverage, being able get more research, show, participate in a different ecosystem. I think that's how it has to kind of get pushed to roll to some form of a mass education of the benefits.
Bridget, didn't is someone called our products the gateway products to understand, because our products are non-psychoactive, non-intoxicating, but they have amazing benefits, and it helps people understand that cannabis really is medicinal in many ways, not just anti-nausea and a lot of other things, but for topical purposes.
Well, and this actually gets me to another point, is like your latest products are really helping. You have these testimonials, but there's also a lot of just other businesses that are considered, you know, topical businesses that aren't getting those same results. And how do you navigate that from a marketing perspective, from an educational perspective, to consumers? Because that to me is like the hard part of, for a while it was like the snake oil salesman, probably that was like 2018. That's when a lot of like, I feel like
they ruined it for all of us.
They did. They really did. And especially that's kind of the CBD. So I don't know, I guess if we can kind of go back to the timeline and figuring out, I'm sure you've had some experience of like, how do you stand out and really show your truth in a crowded marketplace?
Well, you need money to PR. We just hired our first PR team. We're having our first meeting today about messaging, but it unfortunately requires a lot of money to, especially in skincare. I mean, the skincare is an enormous market. And even though we're one of the only of maybe 4 or 5 brands in California making cannabis, like THC and CBD products for your skin, that part's not crowded, but the rest of the skincare market is really crowded. And to stand out, you have to do advertising, social media, get in magazines and press and all of that stuff. And that requires time and money. And when Bridget said it was naive, you know, in the beginning, to think the naivete just comes mainly from not understanding how complex and challenging the California regulations were going to be, as well as how much money it takes to get your brand to stand out in the crowd. Because we definitely have, our products do stand out. We test them, you know, we prove that they're clean. We show that there's no contaminants or lead or pesticides or things that they're discovering. I'm sure you've read some articles about how many, like 50% of the brands tested of makeup and cosmetics had lead or other types of bad things in it. I mean, it's becoming a trend. That's why clean beauty is a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And we stand out by testing everything we make every batch and proving to customers. But to your point, getting that message out to customers is the next challenge for us.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and it's interesting because because on your website, what I also think being in Europe, I feel like we are really lucky because there's so much that you can't even get, like that's not even allowed in a pharmacy or in a store. And I thought that was a really big thing. Yet. Yeah. Wait, what do you mean yet?
It's coming.
Eventually. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. But
you don't know when.
I think what's interesting is like there is this like sulfate free, all of these kind of frees, which is great, but that can, you're right, because that consumer would have to go to a dispensary or find out about you in a different way
to
make that purchase decision. And so that's the
well, we do have a hemp line that we sell through our website. Yeah. Mm. I sent you two websites, but it's so complicated, you know. So there's a hemp line, which is a whole nother business. And then the cannabis line in California. So,
we are expanding. We signed a deal to expand to Canada.
Great.
Very soon. And then we're signing a deal to expand to other states. This is for our THC line because you can't cross state lines with THC for anyone in your audience who doesn't know that. But also that's why we launched a hemp line, so that we can make it accessible to people across the country. And because the cannabis market is so new, there's just infrastructure that hasn't been put in place yet. So for example, we've learned that most of our customers, not all, but most of them, would like to just order it and have it delivered like any other, like ordering from Sephora or, you know, and have it delivered and not necessarily have to go to a dispensary.
Yeah.
Plenty do. And they like the weed for your face concept, but plenty would just rather have it delivered. So currently, because of California regulations, that's impossible for us to do.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, we had a few extra $100,000 lying around to get a license for that. But now there are companies starting to offer what they call white label delivery. So, we're partnering with a company. We're actually in the process of onboarding, which is a little complicated, but onboarding with them so that customers can go to our THC website, our greenbeebotanicals.com website, order something and have it delivered to them in California for now, just California. But that will be game changing for us.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Because you're both in kind of your license is like in San Francisco. So you're both in the San Francisco area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. I don't know. I mean, like how many kind of pop-ups you've done, and we need to get from 2015 to 2022. So we'll go back there in a second, but you know, being in kind of like a cool little pop-up with the marina or something, and like, check this out. And like all of these people who probably have the great budgets, boom, all of a sudden customer acquisition. Cause it's like, you have to really be, I mean, speaking with marketing and a CEO here, it's like, we have to be especially in the cannabis space. Cause you can't run Facebook ads. You can't run these ads, like so creative with the marketing dollars.
Right.
Yeah. Which comes down to partnerships, which for us, I would say for anyone in your audience, that is a top tip, is make good partnerships, meet good people, like-minded people that share your values, which Bridget and I have done. I mean, we say one of the best parts of running our own business is that we get to pick who we work with.
Yeah.
And I think we've done an amazing job. I mean, our biggest, most important partner is Sonoma Hills Farm, which produces all of our cannabis and hemp. And the farm is led by Aaron Kiefer, who was the culinary gardener for the French Laundry. So he really knows how to grow stuff. And they grow not just cannabis and hemp, but food, lettuce. They grow lettuce for Tyler Florence for his restaurant, Miller and Lux in San Francisco. And they're a bunch of foodies and people in the hospitality business. And they have lunches up at the farm where they invite people in the cannabis community and sometimes outside. And we've had a pop-up at one of those events, and we did a DIY sugar body scrub using some blends of essential oils that Bridget made. And so that we could talk about our products, but also let them do something fun and DIY. And we got a lot of people added to our mailing list from doing that. So you're right. That's exactly the kind of thing we need to do. You just have to find the right partners to do it with in the right venues.
Right. Right. And the alignment. And then I think going back to, you know, Bridget's point is like the time and like prioritizing. I think the hardest thing for me as a business owner is like, oh, there's all of these marketing strategies, yeah, but with limited time, like which one makes the most sense from a cost perspective, getting started, right, launching perspective. It's like,
yeah,
where I think it's just like entrepreneurship. It's, you're never bored.
Right.
Definitely never bored.
You're never bored. So then how, okay, so you get to your first account, which I feel like sometimes the first account is the hardest, but it seemed, Bridget, pretty easy for you. Like you guys got to you ladies got to meet and it was great. How about that? So the first account, now where we are in 2022, can you just walk us through kind of then what were those next steps? And then how you and Kim got, you know, got going and started working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like Kim said, I was talking to her about it, you know, when I first started, and I was actually trying to convince her to join me for maybe a year or more because she has a background in marketing. I'm like, that's what I need is marketing, you know,
but I didn't have any background in cannabis. So I didn't know what I could really offer her, you know, but my mind was blown as much as Bridget's when I found out about the endocannabinoid system. And that's when I realized there really is something here and I want to be involved. I want to learn about it.
So like around that time is when, you know, I was still working full time. So I just kind of doing this part time and just kind of, you know, slowly growing and trying to make a logo and, you know, all these things. And I, around this time is when things started ramping up for legalization in California. And I also went to networking events, Women Grow, and anything I could find in the neighborhood. Meadow, who's like an online platform, they had all these meetings that I started going to. They were super helpful. Izakiah, I can't remember his last name, but he was like, there were just so many people like offering free advice, you know? And I would go and I'd meet people. I started going to City Hall for public meetings to help with the, you know, we were trying to change the regulations so that compassion programs still existed, which were huge in San Francisco. I mean, that's actually where it all started, is, you know, with Dennis Perone and, you know, the HIV AIDS, you know, crisis is where cannabis as a medicine started in San Francisco. And helping, you know, have the regulations also include equity for people of color, people, you know, who have suffered so much from the war on drugs. And, you know, that's where I met people, is like helping promote, you know, to help those regulations change for the better. I have to say most of that, you know, didn't work, you know. We do have an equity program here in California, but it's, you know, it's very lacking. It's doesn't make a lot of sense and it doesn't work for a lot of people. But there's still a lot of people working on that. Supernova Women, for example, I want to call them out because they do such great work. Anyway, but that opportunity to be a part of that and like is where I met the people that I know now that have helped me get where I am, you know. So
that's a huge tip for the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Just really, like, build your network.
Build your network, get involved with the process. The political process is like so important, and networking, like just meeting people is like, it, not only is it like those are the partnerships that you'll grow with, but you learn so much from them. You know, you learn tips of like how to avoid
packaging or
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I love the most by far about working in cannabis is the women in cannabis. We have a lot of women support groups, networking groups online and in person. And it's really the kind of capitalism that I, fantasize about, but it's actually really happening with part of this subsegment of cannabis in California, where women are actually truly helping each other with fundraising, with marketing, with hiring people, with resources, with equipment, with all of the, all of these things. We are constantly asking each other, what do we need, what we need? And then someone's giving the answer or many answers. And it is really amazing, both in person and online. And it's what keeps me going, even when it gets really challenging. And I feel like, oh my God, this is never going to work. But then you see these success stories, or you get in person, like we did at Sonoma Hills Farm last Friday, and you just get reinvigorated, like we can do this, because we're helping lift each other up. And yeah, it's amazing.
It is that's such a good point, because it is hard. In California, it's super hard. And being able to just talk with somebody like, how did this work? And that positive mindset. And when you said like helping with fundraising, that's huge.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Aaron Gore from Garden Society and Carly, her partner, they're just, I don't know how they even have the time with all of what they're doing with their business.
Yeah.
But they are always helpful.
Really? What? Okay, I need to talk to them.
I said, plus
you really should.
But yeah, so that was like so inspiring, being a part of that, and like feeling like I was doing something, going to Sacramento and meeting people. Like I had a road trip with a bunch of people I didn't know, and we went to Sacramento and to like tell them that we thought, topicals shouldn't have to be in childproof packaging, or, just try to cut down on packaging waste, because all that childproof packaging just is like just tons and tons of plastic going into the landfill.
For a non-psychoactive, non-intoxicating cannabis product, that it's such a waste, especially in a state like California. It's so ironic.
Right.
But
there's a lot of opposition to that. There's a lot of people who are very fearful, and that was also enlightening, is to hear the people talking about the children and save the children. You're like, oh my God. Anyway,
if they only knew that if somebody got into an eye cream that they bought at a drugstore, how much worse it would be if their kid got into that than one of
probably.
Anyway,
You just realize there's a lot of education with the going to the city hall meetings, but it's like, to me, I was south of you, but I was doing it at the same time for different reasons, talking about taxes, but like, it was so empowering to just be part of that process of hoping that you could shape the regulation and meeting other people. It was just like, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, it's not like you were in university, but like you come together in a way where you have this cohort and you're like, you really are trying to accomplish the same objective, which is fascinating. It's a very special thing.
Right.
It's a rare, unique time that in history that people will look back at, and we will get to say we were there. We were at the beginning, on the bottom floor, and Bridget being involved in helping shape the regulations too. I mean, it guides how we do our business today. We give to the Last Prisoner Project and the Women's Incarceration Program. It's important to us.
Totally. That's huge. So did some of your advocacy get pushed then to positive legislation?
I think the equity program was a little bit better, maybe, because
it probably would have been worse. Let's put it that way.
Probably would have been worse. I can't say, because I showed up, this happened,
sure.
I wouldn't go that far, but I think, people like Nina Parks, from Supernova Woman, she was there, and she just was tireless.
She's amazing. She still is.
She still is. I think it was more, like you said, it was empowering to me. Like, it felt good, but I don't know if anything really changed. Cause the tax situation now is out of control, and I don't know if that feels like a losing battle to me, but I'm I'm still supporting it.
Yeah, it's a wild battle there, but another podcast. We'll talk about taxes on another
one. Yeah, for sure. Like,
we don't need, because I talk about it way too much, I think. So, okay. we can talk about
you
it.
You are offline. A CPA.
I am a CPA.
Yes.
So then 2018 happens and there's this boom and then there's this, oh God, there's a lot of taxes. And
right.
How did that, so walk us through kind of 2018, 2019, before pandemic of growth and kind of like, how was your business going along that way? And kind of just your entrepreneurial story there.
So I've found Lily Kananen who did my design. She did all my design and all new packaging. Cause I, you know, that was the first thing is I needed to get child resistant packaging. So we redesigned everything, got a new logo. And then I got, and she's amazing. She does, you know, we couldn't be here without her. Lily is amazing.
Her company is called Changemaker Creative, and she does have lots of other cannabis clients, but we wish she was all ours. She's amazing. Yeah,
for sure. And then I finally convinced Kim to come on board, as my partner, my co-founder. That was all around just around the same time as legalization. And then we relaunched in 2019.
We had a launch party with Society right. Jane in September 2019.
Yeah. So, and that was all like, you know, we were like, oh my God, this is it. We're going to be amazing.
We're on cloud nine.
We're on cloud nine. We got a distributor with Herbal. You know, Herbal took us on and we thought, this is it. They've got a sales team. We're going to be all over California. We got into like
20 shops in 2 months.
20 shops in 2 months. And we're just on this trajectory that was amazing. And then all these problems.
COVID. First COVID.
Well, no, first Herbal. They kind of, we don't want to talk about that, but yeah,
it was one of the biggest mistakes and setbacks in our little business's life that we are still recovering from in all ways with financially, in all ways.
And, and without getting into detail, is the high level lesson learned because they controlled some sales. And probably cash and maybe contracts of cash flow. So you'd get products, but maybe the terms weren't favorable for your business. So then you're still waiting on money for products that have been pushed.
Well, high level, I think it has more to do with the way like Herbal's own like business model changed. They wanted to be, the biggest distributor in California, and we're this tiny, tiny brand selling topicals that are not a huge seller. And so at a certain point, they just decided, we're not going to sell any of these small brands anymore. But they cut us off at a time that was just really bad timing.
Huge amount of product, huge amount. And we were like, yes, we're so excited. And then they reneged after we spent the money and time to make it. That's what happened.
Damn.
So that's what we've been paying for since then.
Yeah. So we had a ton of product and no order and no distributor, for like several months, actually for a whole year. I think we were like searching for a distributor. So it was just like, just bad timing, but
and COVID on top of that. So we couldn't have live events, which is really how we sell, is we give out samples. We let them try it. We answer their questions, all of that. We were growing our brand ambassador program and it was all just really exciting, and then they shut that down. I mean, thankfully cannabis was designated essential and they were able to reopen the shops, but they were not allowed to have live demos,
which is so hard. And it's what are you going to do, a Zoom call? This is how you apply your face cream. Doesn't it feel good? That's too hard to do. Well, so then what kept you going through that point? Because that takes resilience.
Well, it's true. And I feel like, from all the hardships we've gone through and like all the other brands that started at the same time I did, like during medical, like many, many of those brands are not here anymore. You know, our friends, they're like, they gave up, you know, and they just couldn't take it. And we're like, I'm not even sure how we muddled through. Like, we're just.
Well, I mean, we definitely muddled through because we did it. We, our friends and family, we pitched to them and they helped us with cash. Yeah. We were just, we're very privileged and lucky to have a network that believed in us and wanted to see us keep going. They all use our products, you know? So that is what held us over to this point, actually. Yeah. So friends and family, thank you.
That's huge just to get that influx, because you already, because when I think about it from your business, you already know products, people are loving your products. You already have the testimonials. And so what's hard, it's a cash flow issue. Right. Based on, which is, and then you can't go get an SBA loan because you're dealing with cannabis.
That's right.
So you really
we've been feeling like on the brink for a long time. We just need like a lucky break. And we have a couple of things coming up. One that we're not allowed to talk about yet. Okay. But the other is a pop-up in the Stonestown Mall here in San Francisco. Okay. It's a clean beauty collective pop-up. Amazing. So we're putting our hemp products there because we can't put our cannabis products there. But it's going to be a really good test to see how our mainstream products do in a clean beauty setting, you know, and it's right across from Sephora in Stonestown. Okay. So like our target customers are going to be hopefully within eyesight of it. Right. And that'll just be all of April and all of May.
Amazing.
And we'll get really good feedback from that event. And there's some other thing, you know, as I said, we just hired the Lyman PR firm that does the PR for Sonoma Hills Farm. And that I think will lead to some good things. So knock on wood, we're holding on. We're not giving up.
Oh, and I'm like, I just have so many ideas because it's like, I don't know who exactly your target market is, but I just think, like you said at the very beginning, it's partnerships. In my mind, whenever I think about cannabis, it's for partnerships for people that don't know about, that aren't going to go to that dispensary. And so I was talking with some other women that are, you know, cultivators in the Midwest, and we're talking about Orange Theory. I don't know if you know about Orange Theory, that crazy workout place.
Yeah.
They do pop-ups. Why not see if you could, and probably your target market got the budget, get them in the helpline, get their contact, boom, check out our website. It's like those type of things, but it takes the effort, I think, but that's where you kind of got to measure. But
you're exciting. It has. So our growth to date has come entirely from friends telling friends, you know, that you're probably too young to remember that commercial, but, and they told two friends and they told two friends. That's exactly how we've grown is people love it so much. I was swimming in the ocean the other day and one of the swimmers wasn't wearing goggles, which is crazy out in the ocean. And I asked her about it and she said that she lost too many pairs out there, but also she has some, you know, what she calls bags under her eyes. And she said the cold water was really good for it. And my friend Robin, who is such a fan of our stuff, she tells everyone about it. She said, "Oh, I have something for you. It's cannabis and caffeine." And told her about our eye cream and now she's buying some. So anyway, that's exactly how we've grown so far. We just need some extra bumps.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So imagine you ladies get these extra bumps. Where do you, you know, painting your picture from 12 months from now, where would you want to be?
Oh my God. In Sephora.
So hemp line in Sephora. Okay.
Hemp line in Sephora. And then I would love to, I mean, you know, we're in a bunch of dispensaries in California, but I would love it if people went to a dispensary and looking for skincare, because right now most people going to a dispensary are looking to get stoned, you know, which is understandable, but the topical market is just still pretty small, relatively small. I mean, if you look at the numbers, it's like, that's tiny. At the very bottom, you know, but it's so they're so useful, especially for people who don't want to get stoned, you know?
Exactly.
And I think the benefits that cannabis can bring to people, especially when if they don't want to get stoned, like they just don't know, you know? So yeah. That's my goal.
In 12 months. Yeah. I want the world to know. And by the way, there's an amazing TED talk by, Dr. Knox? I think it's Amanda Knox. Which sister is it? So there's Knox. The Knox sisters, K-N-O-X. The mom and the daughters, all doctors, and they similarly to us, they found out about the endocannabinoid system and went, oh my God. And so they changed their whole focus to educate the medical world and patients and people about the endocannabinoid system, so they understand why cannabis works so well with the body and the mind. And one of them did a TED talk that you can look up, all about that, all about the endocannabinoid system. And I want that to be something that the average person in the United States is aware of. Like most of us still don't even know we have an endocannabinoid system.
Right.
And, you know, not only just that we have one, but how it works and why it works with cannabis. If that became known, people wouldn't be so afraid of it. They would understand that it's not just, you know, it's not the devil's weed or.
Oh my gosh. I mean, because then that made me think, just like how we were educated on the food pyramid and then it changed to the plate. And then I'm like, how cool could it be that at one point, but it's probably going to be 10 years or something at that point when it's federally legal, that you could push that education, because it is pretty insane. I'm going to use that word. I don't like to, but for this one, I am, that doctors are unaware of an endocannabinoid system and they're not taught that in medical school. It's
right.
Well, they did just discover the endocannabinoid system in the 1990s. So but we are still woefully behind. Another time when I was swimming, I met a doctor from UCSF. She's a specialist in a kidney specialist. And she asked me when she found out what I did, she said, I need to learn. Could you share some resources? Because I didn't even hear about the endocannabinoid system in medical school. And my patients are asking me about it for pain. You know, so I sent her that TED talk. I shared links with her to help educate, but at least she was open-minded about it. A lot are not, you know, they're skeptical. I was skeptical when I heard about it. I was like, what? I would have learned that in school, you know, but we didn't. And so, yeah, that's a really big, huge, important part of all of this.
Right. Right.
It really is. I mean, it's education. Awareness and education are the two big things. And I actually had a podcast interview last week speaking with a journalist. And I was like, you know, who's leading the charge for the educational rollout of just like mass Americans? And I just feel like that's not happening. And unless you ladies know, if there's an organization that really that's their main focus, like remember the milk ads back in the 90s?
Oh my God. I was just going to tell her, Bridget.
It's like, how do we do that in a way that,
right.
And like have a fund where that's like people contribute to it. That's all the advertising.
Great minds think alike, Simone.
You should interview Joyce Connelly.
Okay.
You just went Big should. Rock. And Sonoma Hills Farm, and that's exactly what that's coming.
We can secret. End that if you need to. Okay, we can.
It might be a secret. I don't know.
Okay, but I'm just like that. To me, is what has to happen.
And, absolutely.
And then even for what you ladies
like the
have,
milk the cannabis advisory board.
Ah,
we have a cannabis advisory board,
right? Yeah. With just like. A very specific agenda, one little action item, get cannabis to the masses in one way, like through public announcements.
Yeah,
right. That's it. And so then people's egos can't really get involved. There's not too many other things that we talk about, because when you launch a product, when you do something, you just focus on the first thing. And if that works, because it's just like, there's just so, and being in France, it's so bad here. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's tons of CBD shops, but medical cannabis, it's getting tested, but just the whole, like, I get looks when I tell people what I am doing. It's just, and I can imagine, you know, like, it's just what it is, what it is, but
the stigma is real.
The stigma is real. And so I'm like, let's just try to figure it out, do it well in the US. And yeah, but I think maybe we have to have a meeting about that.
Speaking of the stigma being real.
Yeah.
That's another bit of advice that we have for people getting into cannabis, is that it's so easy for especially Bridget and me to forget that there is a stigma around cannabis, because first of all, we're in California, we're in San Francisco. Yeah. So we're in a bubble of all kinds. We're in a all kinds of bubbles here, but and we've been working in the business for years, and all of our friends that work, all of our business colleagues and partners, they're all in cannabis, right? So for us, it is completely accepted. It's revered. Then when you go to open a bank account, or you actually even try to get some printing jobs done, there are businesses who, when they find out what you do, will not work with you. And that, so, you know, sometimes you need to be careful. And if you don't need to tell them what you're doing, don't, you know, but, and also that's another reason to have a good network of men and women, but, you know, for us, the most helpful have been women, is to ask them, where do you get your this done or that done, and which vendors are best and which are cannabis friendly. That's going to take you a long way.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's some really good advice. Well, ladies, I would love to get you back on the show, maybe post some of these secret launches, and post maybe another meeting talking about how do we get this on a national level? Anything else you want to share before we hop off?
I do. I want to tell your audience the biggest, most important, true piece of advice that we've gotten from multiple women. And that is trust your gut. Trust your gut. I mean, really, we've heard it over and over, and whenever we don't do it, we regret it. And when we do trust our gut about something, whether it's a potential partner or going with a certain vendor or doing this event, not that event, it always, if we just center ourselves and listen to what our gut is saying, it steers us in the right direction.
Wow.
Like if you get a feeling from someone like, it seems, you know, like such a good match, but I just have a weird feeling about it. Trust it.
Probably right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Have you always been able to feel that intuition, or is it certain parts of your life where you're like, it's a little bit harder to like even hear what that gut feeling is?
I usually always feel it, but I don't always trust it, you know, because I mean, you have to, there is a lot of, sometimes I'll just have anxiety all the time. And so it's hard to discern, am I just feeling anxious because I'm just anxious, or is it because I'm feeling this like, you know, oh, I shouldn't go in this direction, you know, because sometimes it is hard to fear. Know, because sometimes you, like they say, feel the fear and do it anyway,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So I guess there is sort of a fine line, but when it's not about me, when it's about the other person, like if I have a bad feeling about another person, then I'm like, probably something, you know, that I should follow, you know.
Bridget and I do a gut check like that all the time when we're meeting a new person. We just had a meeting, especially in person.
Yeah.
And afterwards we're like, how did you feel? And if it's like, then we don't go forward with it. And if it was like a yes, like you got goosebumps during the meeting, like I have multiple times during this podcast. I mean, that's that's when you know you have a like-minded person, that you, a kindred spirit, and you should do more with them.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. And it's like, there's this theory about when you hire employees, like hire very slow, fire fast.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the same thing with partnerships, especially in the cannabis industry where people don't want to hire. It's usually collaborations to, you know, help everybody's budget, is like apply that logic. And sometimes it's with the shiny like the shiny object syndrome in this space, because it's moving so fast. Sometimes it's hard to practice discernment, but it really, right. It's so important, because I've noticed for me, my lessons learned is like, when I just jump too fast and I didn't do that due diligence and
right.
You're right, with listening to your gut, maybe my mind told me something a little bit different because I wanted to hear it, but that yeah. didn't really serve me. And so that's a, yeah. Thank you, Kim. That's a very big lesson.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've definitely
still learning. Have
made partnerships that I was, that didn't end well. And I'm yeah. like, oh
yeah,
that was dumb.
I should have trusted my gut.
You know what I do? I have yeah. this like little Word document that's like things that I've learned from those things that just didn't work out well. And I use that as my professional great. And personal development.
Yeah. Because then you're great. Like, yeah. Even though it didn't work out, you still learn this. You learn this. You learn
yeah.
this.
Yeah. You know? And like, and you learn something about what you could have done, and then also the red flags. And so that's what I've just really wow. tried to approach it as, because we can easily beat ourselves up on like, oh, right. yeah. fucked up. But no. I just have learned something, and I paid myself to learn that. Like,
that's a great way to look at it. And I also you that. Can help your fellow, your friends and your colleagues and yeah. people, you can share what you learned, help them recognize yellow and red flags more quickly.
Absolutely. Oh my God. That's so true. I loved our call. It went by very fast.
We did
fast.
Too.
Way too fast.
Way too it fast. It was amazing.
It was so good.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.